Mr. Clarkson, reel 25.
He had another go after that. Twice he was away adrift for months. He still hadn't got his ticket. He thought he'd get discharged. So the next thing, he was up before the captain on his last escapade, and the captain was Henley, who'd just come there, a humane man. And he again gave him 90 days, but still no discharge. And on that, as he marched away from the table, there was a sub-lieutenant looking over the rails. He broke away from the escort and hit this sub under the chin and nearly knocked him over the side. He thought, that's it. That is his discharge. But no, Henley had him brought back again. And he gave him 6 months detention. So, and he said at the time, he was going to hit the captain, he said, but he's such a thorough gentleman, I couldn't do it. He said, so I had to go at this useless son. And he eventually, he got his ticket. Oh, no, he didn't. He got his 6 months and he died. 6 months and his ticket, that was right, eventually. He told the captain that's what he wanted, what he'd been after all the time. And he got 6 months detention and his discharge, but he died of TB.
While he was in detention.
And you talked there about Arbuthnot and about Billy Rose and about the various people with the 70 days and so on and so on. Would you say that there had been, over the period from the first war, a beginnings of a kind of easing up a bit compared to Billy and others? I mean, was it easing up a bit, do you think?
No, I should say it eased up after that.
After that.
It eased, I think myself, it eased up when the last war came along.
Yes, but Bimi, as far as you were concerned, there was no difference really in your time.
Oh, no.
No, that's what I wanted to say.
There was a time, I believe, in about 1918, when the Navy were frightened of a mutiny then.
Yes.
And that was POs.
Why the POs, do you think, then?
Well, they were all fed up with their pay and conditions, and what was happening, they were having meetings, and that came to the notes of the Admiralty. And they were having meetings on in their own messes and then going aboard other ships and having meetings. And that was when the Admiralty got the wind up.
Yeah.
And they formed the Jerram Committee. You remember Admiral Jerram? Mm-hmm. And that was quite a shock to us when we all had our pay risen, nearly 100%.
Yes.
And I think that was to stop that.
That was one of the things.
Yes.
But by and large, in your time, the discipline was always firm and sometimes unfair.
It was. I think so.
Can you think of any other instance of well, I think we may have lost it actually earlier there, but you say that the officers and the men, I mean, the relationship was pretty mixed at the best, and it was quite bad in certain instances, and that the officers were called pigs, naval pigs,
yes,
was the expression that they used.
More or less, as I say, not always in a vindictive spirit, but it's, they got so used to the term that an officer was a pig.
Yeah.
He had to be, that was his, his rating.
Would it vary between, say, men who were officers proper, i.e. Dartmouth-trained or Osborne-trained, rather, and then you wouldn't have many in your time, but the warrant officer who came through the hosepipe, so to speak. Was there any difference between these types of men, do you think, in the way that the lower deck...
Well, there was. I think that the commission officers, the Dartmouth boys, I always think that they... Even though they tolerated the warrant officers, they more or less looked down on them. They seemed they despised them. They were the officers and they weren't.
Yes,
and they and they were in a funny position,
yes.
You see. A warrant officer was. He couldn't be friendly with the lower deck.
Did the lower deck feel they could go to one of the officers? You know, if you had a problem, say, how could you handle a personal problem?
Yes, well, there was an officer of every division. And he was the officer that in times of trouble you should go to. But even then, he was an officer that had been detailed for the job, and he didn't always feel very earnest about it.
Is that what you felt as well? Is that what the men felt about it too?
Yes, you didn't know whether you were going to get any sympathy or help or not. The last one I remember that was any good, and that was afterwards Sir Guy Russell. And he was our young two-ringer in the Royal Sovereign. He was our officer there. And I always remember him, and he said, "Now, don't forget you blokes." He's a great guy, he was. His name was Guy. "Don't forget you blokes," he said, "if ever you're in any trouble home," he said, "the missus has gone off with the milkman or anything like that, come and you come and see me, you know." And he was, as I say, he was a great guy. There was him and his pal, who was also an admiral afterwards. And in the wardroom then we had one ranker, and they were great friends of his. They were outstanding people, I suppose. Simon's Taylor, that was his chum. But apart from that, another fellow who's died about 2 years ago, because that was later on, the Honourable Bruce, the son of Lord Elgin, he was our commander, and he'd done one or two things in the ship for different people that, it earned him great respect from the lower deck.
What sort of things was that, actually?
Well, we were out in South America up the Parana River, a few hundred miles up there, and this chap had a letter from home to say his brother had been in a motorbike accident. And, of course, we weren't getting mails very frequently, and he was worried about it. And he asked to see the commander, naturally, they requested, and he told him about it, and he wanted to know if there was any way he could send a wireless message. And he took him a few miles up the river to a cable station and sent a cable, and he paid for it himself, sent a cable to Portsmouth and got all the information about it, that his brother was killed, actually. But he went to all that trouble.
So, and that the men respected that. The men appreciated
that. Oh, yes.
Was that an unusual thing to do for an officer? Would that be fair?
Yes, they didn't seem to have the time. The others were sneaky. And talking about this discipline business, while we were on the Dauntless, we had a leading seaman named Nelson there, a very rough type, but a very, very efficient seaman. And we were coming away from Vancouver, and Joe Nelson had had a few pints he'd got full up, and they were securing the sea boat for sea. We were leaving Vancouver then, and the first lieutenant we had came along and shouted out to Nelson, "Not that, Nelson, what you're bloody well doing," and all this sort of thing. And Nelson turned around and told him to piss off. And this first lieutenant, none of it, he was a sneaky kind of a fellow. He got a bit aggressive to Joe, wanted to shove off, and looked as if he was going to strike him. And so he shoved off. But of course, Joe was on report and was attempting to strike an officer and threaten him. He had to be put in cells until he was weighed off. Well, they had no cells, so they put him in the carpenter's shop. And Joe was up there. I had a bench that I shared with the plumber, a long bench. And Joe had to sling his hammock up there. And we had a sentry sitting on this bench all the time. Well, Eventually, he was punished by warrant and got 42 days detention. Now, we're on a cruise then, down one side of South America, up another, a 9 months cruise. Nowhere to, no cells anywhere, no naval detention places to send Joe to. And so he had to do his detention on my bench. Well, it was very nice because no officers came up there, as he was, that was what he was being punished for, except the commander when he went the rounds at night. Just to come up and say, all right, Nelson, yes, Joe is safe, and his marine sentry was there. Well, later on, they say he was a good seaman, a good rigger, and that. So they decided to employ him in some way and refit all the blocks in the ship. And he used to use my vice for this lot. Eventually, he saw me French polishing there, making cup cases for all the good losers' cups that we'd won on the way around. And he said, all right, have a little job of that. And as I say, nobody else ever went there. And he was a popular fella, the marine sentries there, they were all pals of his. And so I said, yes. Well, what he'd done while he was there, the only prisoner I've ever known who had drew his rum. The master at arms used to give him that. And they used to come along of a morning and, Joe, come on, exercise on the forecastle. And he'd say, hang on a minute, I just sent a bloke a canteen for a large player. He wasn't supposed to be smoking. But it was ragtime, there's no doubt about it. And then the Marines, for a tot of time, you know, on a bayonet, the wooden two parts of walnut on there, on the, the handle, he was putting mahogany ones on there, some of my mahogany, and polishing them a tot of time. And all these Marines, they all had lovely polished bayonets there, and of a morning his cell had to be scrubbed out, so that meant he used to sleep over my bench. I slept next to him, there was nowhere else to sleep, and so he used to scrub my bench. But before that, he used to have his cup of tea. He used to have one for me and one for my opposite number who slept the other side, and the Marine used to have one, and then he'd turn two after his exercise and he'd got his fags. He used to have quite good food sent up there from his mess. And it was really a treat to have Joe there. And he done all the fitting of these blocks. He polished all the Marines' handles. And he was quite happy there. And he done his 42 days detention there. By the time he'd finished his 42 days, we were up round the Bahamas again at Nassau. And there we met the Delhi, the flagship. And Joe, of course, hadn't been disrated from a leading seaman and lost two good conduct badges down to an AB. He was being transferred there. The day he was going, the captain was ashore. And Joe had to wait until the afternoon until he came off. And he lined Joe up there and he said, now look, Nelson, you're going to the Delhi and I've sent a recommend over there. And you keep your nose clean and you'll be a leading seaman again in 6 months' time. And poor old Joe, a real tough bloke, he cried. he really cried. He went aboard the Delhi and he was back in 6 months as leading seaman again. But there, that was this fellow who'd done him, the first lieutenant. He was most unpopular. He never came anywhere near there. He was a fellow that would come up and say, oh, Chippy, what about doing so-and-so for us? And he'd have his eyes all around. Before you knew where you were, he got you on report for something, Sliver.
Was that a characteristic of some of them who would use their power to, you know, take advantage, and, you know, like that, where a man...
Oh, not many, I will say, for the naval officer, although he was known as a pig. The majority of them were men. It seemed to me always it was these snivellers for promotion. They were the people, and they used to seem to have the sway, and they had no time for themselves, they had no time for their fellow officers, but they had the power to make it very uncomfortable for a low deck man. And when he left the ship, eventually he got made a commander. I believe he went down on the captain of the Hermes later on during the war. But when he left the ship, the usual thing, they piped the commander so-and-so is now leaving the ship. And if he was popular, of course, ship's company gone up and they cheered him. He was got away. But there was a couple up there, they just spit over the side as he went away. That was his...
That was the difference between what a good officer would get from the men. Yes. Was that so that you could make your presence and your feelings felt in that way, could you?
Not...
No, again, I mean, was there any...
Only like that.
Really?
Yes, in that way you could simply ignore them. Now, there was another fellow, this Fitzherbert, the commander, eventually got made a captain. He worked for that, there's no doubt about it. And he, when we used to have concerts, he'd get up there and give a turn, and he was always clearing lower deck. He had everything going ahead. He intended to get that other ring, and when he did get it, he stood on his little spit kits, you know, that they used to... He stood on there, and he said, "There it is! You got me that," he said. "I know you called me a..."